Today, we're going to talk about some people who couldn't give thanks. They were in bad shape. Take your Bible and turn to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter. How many have ever heard of the disease called leprosy? Yes. Have you ever seen the results of this disease in someone that you know? It is gruesome. It's terrible. It just eats your flesh. Just eats it until it finally takes your life. The Lord Jesus there, it's in the account of the 10 lepers. Do you realize what these folks did not have? They didn't have a home. They had no loved ones that would hold them. They walked down the street and a person came near them. What did they have to do? They had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And that was their life. We have no idea. Aren't you glad that leprosy is not prevalent in this great land of America? However, the leprosy of the soul is all around us. We're working with some of the teenagers in the church we attend. How many have heard or have youth sponsors who are 83 years of age? They say young people keep you young. I'm not sure of that. But we pick up some kids, and you should hear their testimonies. You should hear what they're living in. You should hear. It would shake you all the way down to your toenails. These kids, they're lost and they're condemned and on their way to hell. And I asked a guy the other day, well, I was talking to Bob, your Bob man, and he says, it's not getting any easier. I've worked with young people for 55 years. And the task is immense. So I asked Bob, merely because we don't have an overabundance of young people, well, what are we going to do? Quit! I says, no. We don't quit. We just keep on keeping on. Doing what's right. Are you doing what's right today? Are you? If we could flash what you're thinking right this moment on a screen in front of the auditorium, would you be a little bit embarrassed? Now, this young lady came in. She wasn't late. We just started before she got here. But we need to keep on keeping on. Not only did the physical leprosy, but we have the symbolic leprosy in this land in which we live. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? And I'm afraid in America, and this is the greatest land in all the world, don't get me wrong, but I'm afraid we're reaping quite a harvest. When we've turned our back on the Word of God, there is no respect for authority. None. I did some student or some substitute work. I taught school a long time. And I resigned the other day. I said, I'm not going to come in anymore. You can't pay me enough to take the garbage that these kids are giving out. Big eighth grader came in and dropped his pants. Girls in the class, just, of course, He had a pair of basketball shorts underneath, but what was he doing? What was he saying? He was saying, look at me. I looked at him all right. And his two buddies were giggling and thinking it was hilarious. And I walked over to them and I said, hey, do you guys realize that one day you're going to have to give an account to God for the deeds you've done today? I thought I sure to get canned by the, this is a public school, incidentally. But the next day I went to see the principal and she said, you were absolutely right. She stood behind me, which is kind of unique in this land in which we live. Stood behind me. And she went to the boy's dad. And I guess she really reamed him out. The next day he came back and he was pouting because we picked on him. I'll pick on him. I'm not completely sanctified yet. We need to understand that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ did something for these 10 lepers. Let's read about it quickly. And a certain ruler asked him, that's not it. It'd be nice if I get the right chapter, wouldn't it? And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the middle of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves to the priest, unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. None of us can imagine the status of these men. Can't imagine. What if you today had no home to go to, had no loved one? I just can't imagine it. They were excluded from the population as far as anyone else was concerned. Nothing. What do you have to be thankful for today? How long would it take you to enunciate all the things for which you can give thanks today? Call off the class. Let's just have a Thanksgiving time. We could fill up the hour easily at 38 minutes. Oh, 33. Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, we'll never send anybody to jail for forgery unless we teach them how to write. I taught them how to read the clock. Okay. All right. None of us can imagine the joy they must have felt when they perceived that they were healed. It would have been wonderful, wouldn't it, if all 10 of them had turned back and knelt at Jesus' feet. But they didn't. You know, very little of the frankincense of gratitude is found in this land of America. It ought to be as common as the dewdrops that hang upon the hedges in the morning. But sad to say, the world is dry of thankfulness to God. Several reasons. Quickly, the singularity of thankfulness. There are more who receive benefits than ever give praise for them. If only 1 in 10 praise God for such a blessing as they have. What would it be if 10 times a million? And we still just scratch the surface. We need to understand something more remarkable than this. The number of those who pray is greater than the number of those who praise. You ever thought about that? When we're under the gun, when things are going wrong, when physical problems overtake us. I have artificial knees. Too many ball games. And when I walk, it clicks, clicks, clicks. I've asked the doctor who put these knees in if he put a couple grease circles in them so I wouldn't make quite so much noise when I walk. But I'm thankful for them. I'd come to a place I couldn't go up and down stairs. Preacher Lasney's same problem. He's just a kid, though. We know that we need to thank God, but we praise and pray and pray. When Peter was starting to sink, when he got out of that boat and went to George Jesus, the world's shortest prayer. Help! It's all right to pray a long prayer. I'm not much of a long prayer out loud for services. That's not my thing. But I should praise God. Never, never, never forget what He's done for you. And we're one heartbeat from where? From heaven or hell. One heartbeat. We were having a discussion at the table about heart attacks. Do they occur at night or during the day? Let's have a vote. How many think at night? How many think in days? How many not even thinking? But I don't know. But I do know this, that I can't plan on living forever. Someone said, Bob, you're not going to get out of this life alive. So what I'm looking for is not the undertaker. I'm looking for what? The upper taker. You bet. Wouldn't that be wonderful if he came this morning? Oh, wow, that would solve a lot of my problems. I must confess that sometimes I want the Lord to come back to get out of this mess instead of to see the Lord Jesus. My. We drove 8 hours to see Lily. Oh, my, what a sweetie. Just think what it would be to go home this morning. Wow. Wonderful. Well, we need to understand there's some true characteristics of wonderful thankfulness. Individuality. You know, it doesn't take the same shape in everybody. You can sin in company. You can go to hell in company. But when you obtain salvation, you come one and one. You can't do it for anybody else. It's all up to you, one on one. Do you remember the day that you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Can you remember that? Don't ever forget it. Because at that moment of time, you pass from death into life. And that's the most wonderful thing in all the world. Individually, if Christ has saved you and your heart is right, you will say, I must praise Him. I must praise Him. Promptness. We see here that this one man almost immediately turned back. How many people in here have been Christians, have known the Lord at least 50 years, hands. 40 years. 30 years. 20 years. 10 years. 5 years. That's good. No babies in your class. Well, yeah. Hey, quit preaching. I'm doing this, buddy. Oh, my. We have a good time. In your prayer time, family altar. Do you have a family altar? If I was a betting man, and I'm not, I don't think the majority of people who are in good Bible preaching churches have a family altar. It's hard work to have a family altar. We had 5 kids, and when they got to be big, playing ball and working, hard to get time together. That was Mrs. Seaman's job. She was you got it. She's the one who made it go. It was my responsibility to go, but she made it go because she operated and worked things out. Prayer is more than just anything else. Prayer is not so heavenly an exercise as praise. Prayer is for time. Praise is for eternity. We're never going to get over it. We're going to be in His presence, and we're going to bow and praise His name forever and ever and ever. When we've been there 10 million years, we're just getting started. Oh, my. Individually, it doesn't take the same shape in everybody, but it should be done. If Christ has saved you and your heart is right, we said you what? What must do? How many looked at your wife in the eyes this morning, guys, and said, thank you, Lord, for giving her to me? And how many of you ladies looked at him and even when he's got a stubble of beard, sorry about that. no. Said, thank you for giving him to me. It may come as a shock to you, but it takes two to raise a family. It takes two. And without their help, we can't get the job done. Spirituality. It was his duty to go to the priest. Do you realize why he went to the supposed to go to the priest? Because the priests were the only ones who could declare him healed and let him come back into culture, into the society. That's why he sent him there. Read about it in the Old Testament. But we better do it right away. You say, I used to sell pots and pans to single girls for the Hope Chest. Can you imagine that? When I was in seminary. And it was a reference system. And we, if you gave me a name of someone who was interested, and I go knock on the door, and they bought my pots and pans, they got a prize. But I would take a young fellow out with me, and we'd pull up to this house, and this kid said, I don't think anybody's at home. So we go to the next house. No, there's no one here either. You know how long that kid lasted selling? Zilch. You will never get the job done unless you start. Unless you start. And you need to do that. Spiritual things are more important than ritualistic. And intensity too. He turned back and with a loud voice. Sometimes people, when they first accept the Lord, embarrass us with their enthusiasm. Someone told me some time ago that somewhere I have it written down here, that a Hindu man wanted to talk about the Lord to a businessman. He said, "Oh, let's go out on the balcony." And he talked to a lady, and she said, "No, we don't talk about those things at the table." And the man said, "This is the first country I've ever been to that was ashamed of their God." Young man, preacher boy, went to the woods to work in the summertime. And his pastor said, "Watch out. They're going to persecute you when they find out that you're a Christian studying for the ministry." Kid went there and came back, and pastor said, "How'd you do?" He says, "No one ever persecuted me." And he says, "How come?" He said, "I never told them." Do people around about you, where you work, do they know that you're a born-again believer? They're there. Well, how thankful we are that we can see deep and have that personal love. I love the doctrines of grace. I love the church. I love the Bible. I love Jesus more. Do you? Could anybody say amen in this place? I don't think it'll fall down. Saying amen when Brother Jenkins gets up there and preaches, when you say amen, that's just like saying, "Sick 'em." Come down the hall, I was shaking hands with somebody, and Brother Jenkins came along and one of the guys who was standing there said, "This is our fireball." Well, that's good. Good. But we need to praise God for His goodness to us, to know that we are on the right team. How many like to be winners? Anybody here like to be a loser? If you raise your hand, you are. We like to be on the winning team. As Mark was telling you, that I bet you had it was happiness in Ohio because the Buckeyes beat Michigan. Good land. Did Tennessee won too, didn't they? Miracle. We like to be on the winning team. And I tell you, if you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you are on the winning team. And don't go around with such a long face. Bill Compton, evangelist, one time in our church, he said, "Some of you people have such long faces you can eat corn on the cob in a duck in a gopher hole." I like to be around people who are happy. I don't mean giggly, not that kind of happiness. I'm talking about a person that smiles. Some people, if they smile, they would crack their face. Be happy. You know the Lord. You're on your way to heaven. The story is told of a wagon train that was on the way to the Oregon Trail. You can still see in Idaho ruts where the wagon trains used to go through there on the way to the Oregon coast. It's amazing. A lot of people didn't make it, but this particular Oregon, this train was going, and they, water and grass had been scarce for several days. Some of the wagons were broken down with consequential delays amid the stifling heat. A genuine feeling of fretfulness, had succeeded the early optimism and cheer. So it was decided that at the next night stop, meeting would be held to air their troubles. When the emigrants had their wagons in a circle and they had it around the campfire, one of the fellows stood up and said, "Before we go any further, I think we should take time to thank God that we've come this far. No one's been killed. Little difficulty with the Indians. And we have enough strength to finish the task." As he sat down, not a person said a word. You know, when we're griping, it doesn't help anybody around us. I've pastored for over 55 years, and I've noticed that people who are gripers are not soul winners. They're not on the ball for Christ if they're griping. Let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your what? Good works, and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. When you go to church this morning, would you pray for us? We have to get up the road. But when you greet people, say, "Partner, sure good to see you today." See, that's true Christianity. Do you have it? How many more minutes do I have, Gary? You know, when the preacher gets up and shakes his wristwatch, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Oh, my. All righty, shall we stand and pray? Dear Lord, we want to praise your name this morning. And Lord, if we've challenged these dear people to help them to be thankful, we ask that you might just encourage them and help them. Bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for